is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebefe, Will Hill with you guys here. Taking in all of the Major League Baseball that we will have coming up on Wednesday as we take a look at that betting card here, Will, because a lot of day games, man. It's a good Wednesday is your typical getaway day where, hey, let's play those early games. Let's get to the next city before we can get to some of these weekend series. So for those of you who work from home, for those of you that will be out there dipping in and out of work if you work in the office, or for those of you who are unemployed and just want to sit around and watch some baseball, Wednesday is your kind of day because we have a handful of games. Looking at the card right now, one that jumps out to me instantly, I think it's going to jump out to you as well. It has to be the one in the Motor City between the Baltimore Orioles and the Detroit Tigers. Trevor Rogers on the mound for the O's. Tarek Skubal on the mound for the Detroit Tigers for perhaps his final start for the Motor City Kitties.
Yeah, and these games, I mean, you just can't overemphasize it. And Skubal right now, minus 165 at DraftKings. It's a touch high. Rodgers, I think there's some reasons for optimism in his profile. Yeah, maybe you take the run and a half with Baltimore. I'd probably lean towards a first five under. I think it could be a well-pitched game. But this is so day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute with the Tigers and Skubal in terms of what you do. Where, you know what, if you win the next two or three games, you probably keep them. If you lose the next two or three games, you probably trade them. And if you split the next three or four games, man, your guess is as good as mine. So fascinating game. I don't want to lay this type of price with Skubal. He's always going to be a favorite. He's always going to be a rightful favorite. Mm-hmm. A little rich for my blood, but just fascinated to keep an eye on the Tigers, the Skubal market, and what they ultimately decide.
I'm almost interested, like, what is Tarek Skubal's mindset like, you know? Because like he's going to this one being like, okay, well, like I'm going to go out there and try to do my job to the best of my ability. But in the back of his mind, he's still a human. And he could be thinking, man, yes, in 4 days, I could be in a totally different city for a totally different organization. Like, right. How does that mess with his process? Because we know these pitchers, it's fickle. Like they're very routine, regimented, and like do not mess with their routine. Don't even talk to them on the days that they're starting. But the inner Tarek Skubal will be talking to him, where it's like, hey man, like this could be the last go around here for you with the Detroit Tigers. Like, how does that factor into it? If anything, it's Orioles or pass for me. I don't know if I will get there, but I'm interested in maybe betting Baltimore, or like if you're gonna bet Skubal, I feel like one or two things is gonna happen. Either Skubal ladders are gonna cash and he's gonna absolutely dazzle and give you like 8 innings, 12 Ks, or it's Skubal for 4 innings, 7 earned, and the Orioles just actually just work him. I don't know if we're going to get a whole lot of in-between in this game. I'm just deciding, what do I want to do? I lean more towards the Orioles side just because Skubal mentally, I don't know if he's all the way there, because how could you be when you know that this deadline is looming coming up on Monday? But, man, I would be fascinated to know from guys who have played before, who have been the hot commodity of a trade deadline, what is it like as that day quickly approaches?
Yeah, I'm sure there's some anxiety involved. And you know what? If he wanted to settle this, he could sign on the dotted line. Yeah, I'm sure right now and true. Keep with the Tigers. But you know what? It's probably not in his best interest. So I don't know. I don't feel comfortable always playing amateur psychologist, but your points and your concerns are very valid, very well taken here. DraftKings offers these markets. I'm sure other books do. Correct score after like three innings. If there's a pitching matchup you really like and you think mm-hmm. not only do I like the under, but I could see this going way under. Sometimes like 0-0 after three, you get a good 4-5, 6-1. Now, with this kind of pitching matchup, it'll probably be more in the 4-5-1 range, but that could be a way to play it. But I like Rogers. Obviously, we all like Skubal. It would be under or nothing for me, but the uncertainty with Skubal and his future, is, as you mentioned, certainly something to consider.
Yeah, I think that's just like the big time game tomorrow in Major League Baseball. The day start, perhaps the final start for Skubal on the Detroit Tigers. Some other games that we have on Wednesday, especially in the early afternoon portion of the day, Phillies and the Marlins. We saw the Marlins Tuesday night able to hold off Philadelphia with a 1-0 victory. That's now two straight for the Marlins, who had once were coming off of the 12-game losing streak. So don't let them win this and get hot, Will. But Ryan Gusto on the mound for the Fish. Jesus Luzardo on the mound for the Phillies. That is why Philadelphia is favored. Minus 156 on the money line. Miami plus 129. Total 7.5. These getaway games, man, sometimes early, it's an under or pass for me, I think, in this game. Like, who knows what the Phillies are doing to Tuesday night heading into Wednesday, you know? Hey, those guys might be out and about, and all of a sudden say, oh, we got to be at the ballpark super early. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's under or pass for me.
Is there anything fun to do in Miami if you're young, rich, and have a lot of money, and you're a professional athlete?
Pretty sleepy town, I heard.
I'd be in the hotel just, you know, catching up on Entourage. I would not be involved in any of that shenanigans, but I'm not these athletes. Philly, like you said, looking to avoid the sweep. I'd be tempted to lay it with Lazardo. I don't like laying this kind of price. I don't like laying 1.5, but maybe you could do a blend where you lay the 1.5 for half your bet and you lay the money line the other half. Lazardo's much better than Gusto. You'd figure Philly, you know, motivation is not something you talk about a lot in baseball because it doesn't always translate, but you got to figure they're looking pretty intensely here to avoid the sweep. It would be Philly or nothing for me, but again, when you're talking this kind of price, it's probably enough to keep me off of it.
How about some of the other games that we have throughout tomorrow's day slate? Diamondbacks, Pirates, we have the Blue Jays and the Nationals, Trey Savage or Zach Little on the mound. The Brewers and the Giants, that's a 3:45 Wednesday afternoon first pitch. Rockies and the Padres, Rangers and the Rays. Anything else that stands out to you from tomorrow's slate? I mean, the Yankees and White Sox, we've been dabbling on that one all throughout this week.
Yeah.
Why not go again here on Wednesday with a really nice pitching matchup of a couple of young guns? Cam Schlittler, your AL Cy Young favorite, and then Davis Martin, who he's not quite a Cy Young contender, but he puts a couple more starts together. Maybe he throws himself into that conversation.
Ricky Martin has a better chance of winning the Cy Young than Davis Martin. He's not winning the Cy Young. Come on.
No.
Living La Vida Loca.
Davis Martin has been pretty good. You know, he's been good.
He's cooled off a little bit, though. I got to go back and look at his last handful of starts. I know he was a kind of a hot sleeper as we're all looking to fake it last week.
Living La Vida Loca.
It's the middle of July. That looks playable on the Yankees now. It's a lineup without Judge, without Bellinger. That looks like a playable price here on the Yankees and Schlitter. Schlitter's been a little bit up and down. He was awesome last time out Friday night against the Phillies, where he's just dominant. The start before that against the Dodgers, he didn't last very long. And he's been a little home run prone, but to me, he's better than Martin. We had the same kind of approach handicap with Cole in the first five on Tuesday night. I would look towards Schlitter and the Yankees in some form of fashion. And Eduardo Rodriguez, I know you look at this stuff all the time. To me, he's a guy, he's got his comeuppance here coming because his expected ERA, it's interesting, Femi. You look at his ERA the past 2 years, it's like it's almost to the decimal point, 502, 504. And then this year, the actual ERA is like 2.7. But the expected ERA is like 505, almost again to the decimal point of what he's done the last 2 years. Jerry Jones, a good pitcher with a lot of pedigree. I think he's coming on strong, recovering from the injury. I would look towards the Pirates there. I think that price is a little, is somewhat playable, palatable, as long as it doesn't go up any more from the $1.35 or so that it's at now. The Pirates would be a play for me. Rodriguez is a guy that's got some negative regression in his numbers coming here.
Oh, Rodriguez is ripe, man. He is ripe for the picking. It's like a flashing sign just saying, fade me, fade me. And like, I've been on the opposite side of some Rodriguez situations and it did not go well. Where it's like, okay, like this guy, he got me here, but you know it is coming. As someone who has bet on these guys and has definitely bet against those guys, like that outing where he gives up 7 earned after 4 innings, it's around the corner. So maybe it doesn't happen on Wednesday, but it is for sure happening at some point in August or September. That you can take to the bank. We mentioned that Yankees-White Sox game also happening in Chicago in the last couple minutes here of this segment. Wednesday is going to be Big Ten Media Days for college football. Tuesday is when it began. It wraps up coming up on Thursday, the Big Ten preseason media poll, Will. And part of me is starting to wonder if these media members who vote on these polls are taking a look at the odds when they're filling out their ballots, because we're getting pretty damn close to what the betting market has with these teams. Ohio State won the Big Ten media poll from the media, the preseason poll, I should say. They're, of course, your favorite over at DraftKings, +180. Oregon, the third shot on the board, not by much, though, plus 260. They were number two in the media poll. Indiana, the defending national champions, which will never sound not sound crazy coming out of my mouth. They're number three in the poll. They're plus 250 to win the Big Ten at DraftKings. And you have USC, Michigan, Penn State, Washington, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin, UCLA, Northwestern, Maryland, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Purdue. Yes, there are 18 teams in the Big Ten. How many of those teams, though, will make the college football playoff?
Three or four. I don't know. I mean, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, I think all get in. And then I'll say three. I don't know. Does USC or Penn State get in? Maybe. What would your answer be? I'm probably four, I guess. I guess four. How about you? What do you think?
So me, it's three. I think it's kind of clear. It's like the three at the top.
You're probably right. Probably a better answer.
I'm just going chalk. It's the three. I like Oregon quite a bit. Yeah. It scares me how much I actually like Oregon. For those of you who will be buying the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, you will see how much I like Oregon when you take a look at the VSiN expert picks. But Ohio State, I think, is a rightful favorite. Indiana, they deserve the respect of being a prominent like college football program now. I just can't get there with USC. Michigan, no. Penn State, Matt Campbell, show me something. Washington, I root for them. Love that school. Would wish that they could break through. Don't think they can do it. And then the rest of them, you kidding me? Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, get the hell out of here. So to me, it's just the three, Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, that are likely to get to the college football playoff.
I could see Penn State having a two-loss season, but if your schedule is not strong, two-loss season might not be enough to get you in the playoff without Mark.
Nah, it's Matt Campbell. He'll find a way to lose to somebody. The VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now. Get it today with our football special for just $175. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are tied in the bottom of the 10th between the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe. Score 7-7. So both teams adding a run in the the Diamondbacks added a run, and now the Pirates have added a run. So yes, both teams have added runs here in extra innings, as I'm able to get that out flawlessly. But 7-7 is the score here. Runner on first with one of the lower allows at the plate. He did homer in the ninth, a two-run bomb, so we'll see if he can come up with some of that magic here and maybe walk it off in the bottom of the 10th. But what has been a fun and entertaining game, a game the Diamondbacks led 6-0 heading into the eighth inning, and now here we are tied at 7 in the bottom of the 10th.
Not just that, a big game. These teams come into the game tied for the final wild card spot, identical records. The Pirates, I believe, get the nod here due to the head-to-head, which, look, long way to go. We'll see here. These things will iron themselves out. But one thing that's really just a baseball tragedy, Femi, no more game 163, no more tiebreaker games. That used to be the best, dramatic, fun thing. I love those. Where, you know what, we played 162, you got the same record as me, I got the same record as you. Forget the tiebreaker, forget the head-to-head. We're going to settle this on the field in just a random, you know, like a Monday or Tuesday afternoon, and we're going to decide in a very dramatic one-game playoff who goes to the playoffs. Some of the best baseball moments ever are decided in those tiebreaker games. The fact that they got rid of them, I guess the players didn't want to play the extra game, said, hey, leave me alone, don't bother me, let's just go to a tiebreaker, I'll figure it out. I hate that. It's so bad for the game. Those tiebreakers were so much fun, but a very important, impactful game here with the Pirates and the Diamondbacks.
But isn't it kind of cruel, though, for, like, you go through 162 and now here's a random 163? Yes. You really want it decided that way?
Yes. Yes.
I guess, is this baseball's alternative?
Hey, we went 7-4 against the division and you went 6-3. So by the way, Padres are not treating Michael Lorenzen kindly. No. One run scores, the second run is thrown out at the plate. So it's going to be 2-0 Padres after two. It was, I think, two outs, nobody on here in the bottom of the second. I know you're on the Rockies in the first five.
Yep.
But 2-0 Padres here. They have hit Lorenzen around, but it could have been worse. They did get out at the plate. But yes, look, sports is about fun. It's about drama. Game 163, where, hey, we've played all of these games and we couldn't decide it because you have the same record as I do. And let's play one more to decide. That's, to me, better and more fun, more dramatic than some tiebreaker scenario. You disagree with that?
I disagree, because like the tiebreaker scenario means it's added stakes to the divisional games during the regular season. It's like, because like that's one of the chief tiebreakers. So it's like, hey, like this is a division game. Like, we can't mess around. We need to win this game. Those are the teams that are likely to be like closest to you in proximity. You build those rivalries. Like, that's why the NFL doesn't play a game 18. Obviously, the sport's much different. Like, you can't do that or anything like that. But that's why the division rivalries matter so much, and why they're like so impactful, is because like this is the exact tiebreaker that's going to be the difference between you being, let's say, the 2 seed or the 6 seed. Like that's to me the best way to do it. Plus, I will say, I also love the wild card round, the expanded wild card round with the series. When they were just doing the one game, the one off, I was like, come on, this is a little bit much. But the series, I think, has given us some fun, dramatic moments to where it's like, okay, like this seems more fair, even if it's best of three after a season of 162.
It's more fair, but I liked that there was only two of them and the two would battle themselves to the death right off the bat in the playoffs, where it was one gets eliminated and one moves on, where it was really just one wild card and it was two wild cards for one spot. And it was just fewer playoff teams. I just feel like it waters it down to add these playoff spots. It's just, I like the game 163. It's so easy to play another baseball game. Look, if they played another NFL game, a tiebreaker game, we'd all watch it. We'd all love it. It's just not from a physicality standpoint possible. But those are just some of the most fun games where it's like, man, after all of these games, we ended up with the same record. Let's just play one more. And there's so much drama, so much tension. And then that decides everything. But it is no more, unfortunately.
Is that a solo shot for Castro? Yeah, it's a solo shot for Willie Castro of the Rockies. So they at least get one there back here. So, you know, Michael King, I'd say he's a little too much respect for Michael King. Let's keep it rolling here, Rockies. Let's go ahead and get that first five plus money home, underdog home for us on this Tuesday night. But so, I mean, could you imagine if they played an NFL game 18 after Sunday night football? What are we gonna do Monday afternoon? It's a suit in the back up, boys. Let's go play. I mean, Congress would get involved. I feel like they'd have to do something. Like, we cannot do this. If you were the commissioner of Major League Baseball, you would contract then to four playoff teams, like how it used to be back in the day?
It's funny because, like with all the stuff, college football playoff, NFL extra games, once we get the extra games, it's more games to watch, more games to bet on. I like that aspect. But I just think baseball, you play so many games where they're supposed to matter. And same thing with college football, where it's like, man, we're going to play all these games and 24 teams are going to get in the playoff. I thought four was the perfect number, really five, because five and four battle each other. I thought the old system was the better system. But once we get those wild card rounds, I'm sitting there like an addict watching every pitch of every one of them, and they're fun and it's more baseball. So I'm torn between, I like the extra games. I like the extra games to watch and bet, but I think it was better for the sport to have just the two wild cards and then they play the one game playoff and only one of them gets in.
See, I think the current college football 12-team playoff is the perfect one, because there's no
more. I agree with that.
There's no more arguments. Like, there's no more of this, like, well, we deserve to be. It's like, if you can't get into 12, I don't want to hear from you. like that's kind of my thing. Like, hey, guys, there's 12 slots here. Like, the Miami Notre Dame nonsense that was going on last year, I'm like, look at our metrics. Well, you lost to them in September. Sorry, bye.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that to me is how things should go. Like, when it was just the four teams and then we had an undefeated team left out of the playoff, and I know their quarterback was hurt, but damn it, I don't care. They ran the table in college football and people said, well, they're not as good because their quarterbacks are, even though their defense was the best part of that team. That was the team with Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. Like, the defense is why Florida State's undefeated, but they don't have their quarterback, so we can't put them in. Sorry, you don't get a chance. Like, that's dumb. Like that to me was a black eye on the sport of college football, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that was horrendous. So, like, now that that would not happen in today's landscape, perfect. Boom. All right. Florida State would have been in, and we would have seen how they played. Maybe they got ran out of the building, or maybe their defense actually wins a game in the playoff. Who knows? But at least we decided on the field. I'm sick of doing the Twitter arguments and ESPN and Fox arguing, ESPN arguing for the SEC, Fox arguing for the Big Ten. Like, no, settle on the field. Who's better? Let's find out. Go between the white lines. Get the hell out of here with the resumes. I don't want to see that nonsense.
Yeah, and the college football playoff, you know, committee, they kind of got a break because that was the final year of the 14 playoff. That was the first year where it wasn't that clear cut. I know where there was like the Ohio State Iowa debate one year where or they lost to Iowa, and you know, people got mad that they put Bama in and Bama ended up winning the whole thing. Yeah. But for the most part,
yeah,
it kind of
the first year of the 14
out.
Playoff with the Ohio State over TCU and Baylor, like that was like kind of the dramatic.
Yes.
But for the most part, yeah, it was already sorted.
For the most part, it kind of sorted itself out. And then they ran into a year where it didn't sort itself out.
Yeah. You had the freak injury that happened to the Florida State quarterback, whose name is now escaping me, Jordan Travis. He has a freak injury. Yeah. They go out there. They still win the ACC. They go undefeated. And the committee's like, well, like we think Bama's better than you. It's like, well, do you know? No, but we think it. So
12 and so one what? SEC champ. Georgia hadn't lost in like, you know, 8 years or whatever. It was a couple of years, but that I remember betting from a betting perspective. I remember saying before that, hey, if Bama wins, they're not leaving a 12-1 SEC champ that just beats Georgia. And you could have gotten some 5, 6, 7 to 1s, which I did, which I talked about on various, you know, podcasts. I remember you were doing the show with Lombardi that Sunday morning.
We were
actually texting you guys, going, man, the market's moving here on Bama to get in. Somebody thinks or knows Bama's getting in, and they certainly did.
But like, and here's like the betting tie-in, because like everyone always says, like, well, if we put these teams on a neutral, who would be favored? That's who should be in. Well, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, put Oregon and Washington on a neutral. Who is favored? Yeah. Oregon by like 8. What happened in the game? Washington kicked their ass. So like, I miss me. Like, we are a betting show. I love betting. Miss me with who would be favored. That's why we play the games. Like, let's put in odds makers and have them decide it. What happens has to matter. Otherwise, why are we betting on any of this? Why are we watching any of this? Like, that's the big thing.
Just simulate all of it.
Simulate the whole thing.
I know.
Notre Dame's your national champion. You heard it here first. Like, what? Like, come on. We're going to play the games. That's why we do this stuff. That's why we love all this stuff. We also love our friends at Circus Sportsbook, because for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at Circus Sportsbook at the Circa Resort and Casino. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. We'll get you posted on the 11th inning in Pittsburgh when we come back here. It's VSiN Primetime. Femi Befe and Will Hill giving it to you on VSiN.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
To the top of the 12th we go in Pittsburgh in a game that will never end. Diamondbacks and the Pirates still knotted at 7, both teams with 14 hits apiece. So we certainly have a couple of closely contested teams here in that NL wildcard race. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe. That is the headliner for the late action on the East Coast. We have the action going on the West Coast going on right now. Angels and the Astros knotted at 1. In a game that I'm on, the Mariners and the Dodgers, in a game that neither of us had a bet on, they are also tied at 1 in the top of the second. Cubs have a 9-1 lead in the top of the ninth. So that is Chicago that has been dominating St. Louis. But in San Diego, the Colorado Rockies with a 4 spot, once trailing 2-0, now have a 4-2 lead here in the second inning. And are they going to add on there? Nope, that's going to be a fly out to left. So the Rockies, though, with a very, very productive inning, and now have a 4-2 lead headed to the bottom of the third. So I am on the Rockies first five at plus 168. Apparently, I should have just bet the first five over. Could have went ahead and cashed that ticket and just been sitting back and laughing the rest of this way. But so far, the Rockies are showing some nice resolve here. But all the attention on this game between the D-backs and the Pirates. Looks like the Diamondbacks have a runner on third with one out. I believe they just kind of brought over the ghost runner on a little sack bunt, or I'm assuming it was a sack bunt there. I didn't actually see the play that happened, but teams usually deploy that strategy. But yeah, man, that's the game of the night, at least from an interest standpoint in terms of the drama that we are seeing so far here on the diamond, where the live total is 16.5, Diamondbacks minus 122 on the money line, and the Pirates, Will, are at minus 107. So this is the betting market once again putting up the shrug emoji and saying your guess is as good as mine as to who's going to win this one.
Yeah, and not just an exciting game, and just a fascinating game from a live odds standpoint, where Arizona led 6-0 in the bottom of the eighth, and these teams have just gone back and forth. And honestly, and we talk about the new rules with baseball, with the extra wild card spots, I don't love the ghost runner. I get it. You want to move the games along. You don't want, these teams don't want 17 inning games, but it just cheapens it. It's almost like college football where, you know, you start at the 25, you the score overtime, a touchdown, yeah. I score a touchdown. It becomes kind of a farce of a game, but a great game and a very impactful game here, because these teams enter today tied for the final wild card spot. And man, we are coming down to the wire here for a Pirates team where I think the manager Kelly is very live for manager of the year. And I would love to see, bets aside, and my bet is part of it, I'd love to see the Pirates get in. They haven't been in forever. Yeah. They've got a lot of young talent, a lot of young pitching. So this is a very important game here. Both teams have had plenty of chances to win this as we continue to play on here in extra innings.
Yeah, it looks like it's 8-7 now. So they were able to drive in the runner who was on third. So the Diamondbacks have an 8-7 lead here in the top of the 12th, still one out. Live market update, Arizona minus 343, Pittsburgh plus 245, totals at 17.5. I disagree with you. I think in the regular season, the Manfred man is fine. Because we should get the games moving along. I don't want to see an 18, 19, 20 inning regular season game. Playoffs, though, is like where it should not be there. It should be baseball in its purest sense, which is what the rules are. So I think Manfred, I know he gets a lot of flack. I think he's made some very nice moves.
He's not as bad as people think.
Yeah, he's made some very nice moves as a commissioner. You know, it's just because the hunk of metal or whatever the hell he called the World Series trophy, he's never going to live that one down. And once you say that, people are never going to be on your side. But almost similar to Roger Goodell, I'm old enough to remember when Goodell first took over in the NFL after Paul Tagliabue was no longer the commissioner. Like, Goodell was not beloved. You know, he was seen as the punishment commissioner, and he's suspending all these guys, Pac-Man Jones, and all these guys are getting Tank Johnson. They're getting these massive suspensions, and nobody loved Goodell. But now everyone sees the vision. It's he's been a net positive to the 10th degree for the National Football League. I'm not saying it's going to work out the same way with Rob Manfred, but Manfred, in my opinion, has been a net positive for baseball. I think he has done banning the shift. Doing the Manfred man.
Pitch clock is good.
Pitch clock, ABS. These are all innovative moves that have helped the baseball product and have made me more likely to watch a baseball game.
No disagreement. I agree. All good points. And I thought the first time I heard of the pitch
clock. Now check back next spring when we have no baseball.
Yeah, well, that is also a point of contention. But not, I agree. For the most part, a lot of these moves have been positive, and you hear people say, "Oh, baseball's dead. Nobody cares about baseball."
It's alive, man.
From the truth, the attendance, the ratings. I think betting helps. Where it's every day, and there's so much micro betting where you can bet home runs, inning to inning, bet on this at bat. I think this idea that baseball is dead could not be farther from the truth.
Yeah, it cannot. Like baseball dead, or NBA in trouble, or pretty much everything is in trouble, but the NFL. Like if you let Twitter tell it. everything is in trouble. I'm like, guys, actually, people are watching live sports more than ever, you know? And I know, some of that has to do with, the ratings, the way they measure things now, and, there's some kind of some funny money here with the Nielsen ratings and all that stuff. But for the most part, by and large, due to betting or due to just general interest that these leagues are trying to make it as best as possible for the fans to consume their sport, all the stuff is up, man. It's all up. It's a great time to be a commissioner or to be an owner of one of these sports teams, unless you're the Portland Trailblazers owner. You know, I guess maybe it's not fun to do that as they're running out. Dude, I'll tell you what, that is the relocation plan if I've ever seen one, with what's going on with the Portland Trailblazers. I lived it in Seattle. Like, I know what it looks like. They are running the same plays from the same playbook, man. Like, piss off every fan, like, kind of take the team out of being like a local team, doing all this stuff, like getting rid of these people, getting rid of, this is the same playbook that Clay Bennett did when he bought the Sonics from Howard Schultz, that snake. Like, this is the same playbook that Tom Dundon's out running out there in Portland.
Yeah, and you mentioned all the ratings being up. It reminds me of a line of The Sopranos. I think you watched it. I don't know if you caught up and watched the whole thing, but there's a line where Junior says to Tony, he goes, of course you're doing well. The economy's up. Even housewives are betting. And he threw in a few colorful words there. But everything's up. Everything's up. Everyone's betting. Everyone's watching these games.
Uncle June, I did make it through the whole way. I have not spin the block twice, as the kids say. I have not done that. I think Ty Francis. Oh, no, it's warning track power. I did like it. So going in, I didn't realize it was going to be like funny going in. I'm like, this is like a comedy. Because I was like, oh, Sopranos, yeah. Like it's like a mob thing or whatever. Like all that. Like yes. It's probably going to be very serious. They're going to be killing folks. I thought it was going to be like The Godfather. And then like I'm watching, I'm like laughing when I'm watching this. You know, like the intervention, yes, for Chrissy, I think is like one of the funniest moments of the series. You know, like I said all I can say, Chrissy. Like, you know, like, it's just like a hilarious series. And I'm just like this is almost, I guess it's like a dark comedy almost, you know, if you want to call it that. But
aren't you the guy that went into Stu Leonard's and robbed all the pork lines? Yes, but that's not why I'm here.
Yes. It's a great like the Pine Barrens episode, you know, where he's like an interior decorator. I thought his, yeah, place looked like bleep. Like it's just it is a phenomenal series. I need to rewatch it just because like I want to be able to we text every now and then about Entourage. Like I could like recall from what season, whatever, like the next line, sure, all that, because I've seen Entourage maybe like minus like 8 times. Like episode 1 all the way till the end, just because like every now and then like I'll just like, oh, I'm bored, nothing on TV, well let's spin a couple Entourage episodes, let's see how this goes, and then like you just like you get in that groove of, well, now I need to watch the rest of the series. So yeah, like I have not watched Sopranos to that extent because one, the Sopranos episodes are 1 hour as opposed to just 30 minutes like Entourage, not as easy as a binge watching experience, but no, I do need to give it another run though, for sure.
By the way, the Pirates, boy, this is a no-no. When you got the ghost runner on second, boy, you got to either get that runner in or get him over leading off the inning. But Gonzalez hits a ground ball to third. Oh. The runner on second holds. So now Arizona in good shape to get a win in what has been a wild, just exciting back-and-forth game. Now, you still got two chances if you're the Pirates with a man in scoring position. But to not get that run over is a big negative here. So now Andy Rodriguez steps to the plate. One out, man on second. Arizona leads 8-7. Bottom of the 12th here. And Femi, the 12th is about as long as you see these games go. These games, yeah, rarely, I mean, you used to see all the time 13th, 14th, 15th, mm-hmm, inning before these rules. You double switch your best players. You got the pitchers hitting. You just run out of bodies. Now, 10th, 11th. Once you get to the 12th, that's about as long as these games go. Eventually, somebody breaks through and puts up a crooked number. Or one team doesn't score. Something happens. But the Pirates looking to walk it off. Arizona looking to get a couple outs here and secure a victory.
Yeah, I would be curious, like, what is the answer to that question? Like, longest baseball game in the regular season since they've gone to the Manfred Man, the Ghost Runner? Like what is that long? I'm assuming we've had, like, a 15 or 16-inning game, but I can't recall one off the top of my head.
Probably 15.
But I can't recall it off the top of my head, though, so it's, like, probably not many. Maybe it's only 14. Who knows? That seems, like, a little bit short, but that's the goal of it, you know, like we don't want to kill all these pitchers and throw all their arms out or whatever, like, you know, like let's just, it's a regular season, it's 1-162, let's keep the ball moving here, let's move it along, because we got some day games coming up tomorrow. We will discuss this Pirates and Diamondbacks game when we come back, but also keep you posted on some of the West Coast baseball as we are set to wrap up this edition of VSiN Prime Time.
We'll be right back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is all over in Pittsburgh as the Arizona Diamondbacks go ahead and take care of business. They hold on. They blew it, but then they won it again in extras, 8-7 after 12 innings. Pirates unable to tie it up in the 12th. We were talking with our producer, Corey York, during the break about the longest game since the Ghost Runner was implemented. It was back in August of 2021 between the Dodgers and the Padres, went 16 innings. So we still have a lot of work to do to get up to that one. Only played 12 tonight, but back then it was 16 innings between the Dodgers and the Padres. But most importantly, Diamondbacks get the victory over the Pirates. I almost called them the Padres. Diamondbacks over Pirates, 8-7, which Will, as you outlined, very big in the NL wild card race, given that those two teams were tied heading into tonight's contest.
Yeah, and look, unless you have tickets on the Diamondbacks, unless you're a Diamondbacks fan, I don't know how you're not rooting for the Pirates. They haven't been in the playoffs in forever. They're new, they're young, they're fun. They've got a lot of pitching. It's a good franchise. It's a loyal franchise that's been through a lot of crap with a rich owner who just doesn't want to spend the money. He's been pretty cheap throughout the year. So they're a fun story. I hope they get in. This is a tough loss tonight. Now, at 6-0, the irony, Femi, when it's 6-0, you know what? If you just lose the game 6-0, you know what? It's one of 162. You don't really think about it. You shake it off. The fact that you battled back and you tied it and you had chances to win, that's what makes it sting. So, you know, expectations have a way of readjusting. And once you tie it and once you have chances in extras, you feel like, man, this is one that got away, where you're down 6-0 in the eighth. You don't feel that way. But either way, Arizona perseveres. Just a wild game back and forth. You know, a lot of swings in this game in terms of the odds. But Arizona wins. Pittsburgh gets bumped out of a playoff spot as currently constructed. And Arizona is able to pull this one out. Fun game, though.
You mentioned the Pittsburgh Pirates owner, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, gosh, what kind of owner would I be if I owned a team? I almost wonder, like, would I spend too much money to where I became like a bad owner? You know, like it's just like, go, yeah, open checkbook, go out there and buy all these players. I almost wonder if, like, would it be to the point where I'm now a net negative because of how much money I'm now spending? Because I definitely wouldn't be cheap, because I'm like, if I own a sports team, I want to win a championship. We're not out here to be penny pinching. But would I be too reckless with the money? I think I'd kind of almost like be erring on that side, where it's like there's a smart way to spend a lot of money, and there's probably a dumb like way to spend money, like let's trade for Kevin Durant, like the Phoenix Suns did the week of the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just like, let's make all these big splashy moves, then you just look around and you're like, damn, that didn't work out. I feel like I might be like that, because I'd just be too damn excited. I would want a team with that had a talented group that could potentially contend for a title.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about owners. And we talk so much about these teams and the players and the coaches and sometimes the GMs. A lot of times it's that old rich guy that's in the press box that you rarely see that really sets the tone for the franchise. And there's just, dozens of little decisions throughout the week, throughout the year that add up. And it's a good team. It's a well-run franchise like any other business, any other organization. Difference between being a good organization and a bad one. And, That sets the tone a lot of times. Obviously, you need the good players, but there's definitely a trickle-down effect from the owners down.
Oh, that's for sure. The checkbook would be open, though, that's for sure, if I was owning a team, which is probably reckless.
What sport would you want to own a team in?
Ooh, I think basketball. Like, okay. Football is my favorite, but I feel like basketball, because you get more games, but it's also not like the commitment that baseball is for, like, 162. I mean, like, the owner, you don't have to travel. Like, you can just watch the home games. But that's still, let's go into 81 baseball games. But, I mean, does the owner ever go to all games? Because I would want to go to all the games. But I don't want to commit 81 nights out of the regular season to have to go to this thing throughout the summer. So, basketball, it's in the winter. You're inside when the weather's not as great anyway. And it's only 41 games at home. And if you get to the playoffs, and it's just a cool sport to be courtside in, you know? Like, I'd be like Joe Lacob. I'd be sitting courtside. You know, like, I'm not up in the press box. I'm right there with the players where the action is. Like, I'm talking trash to the refs. You know, I'm doing that stuff. I'm like Mark Cuban when he was the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. That's how I would want to own a sports team.
Would you be firing coaches? Would you be very temperamental with your coaches if they weren't doing things you didn't like? Or would you feel like you would vet that out in the interviewing process and that stuff wouldn't happen?
I'm firing dudes left and right, man. like, especially if I've opened up the checkbook, the expectation is we are competing for championships. And if you're not delivering, you are out. Like, it's simple. This is no like, oh, this is a work in progress. And yeah, where he's developed. No, hell no. Get the hell out of here. can I call up Eric Spoelstra? Can I call up whoever, you know, to coach the team? Like that's what I'm doing. There's no patience for, well, you know, we didn't reach our goals. Yeah, none of that stuff. General manager, I might give a little bit more patience because I'm like, okay, like let's see the vision with what you're building. But the coach, nah, man. Like the coach needs to start producing immediately. Otherwise, changes will be made.
Fair enough.
That's fair just kind of how it, that's
hopefully,
how it runs.
Hopefully, if this day comes, I get a spot somewhere doing something. That'd be fun.
Hey, you know what? I'll bring you. We'll bring on the whole VEASAN crew. You know, everyone will have we'll have a spot in the organization. We'll have a season ticket.
That doesn't sound very sincere, by the way.
I love that you call it out. Because actually, I don't want any of you guys to hang out with me. And so he's like, hey, Femi, what's going on? Who is this? I'm sorry.
Why is my text green? I texted Femi. The thing was green. He must not have service. His phone must be off.
Exactly. Lose the number. No, I'd hook you guys up with season tickets. That's about it. You wouldn't be in the organization, though. You get season tickets on the house, though. I mean, what do you want? You want season tickets to the game, man. What, the Vegas bid. They should attach me to the Vegas bid. Come out to Vegas, and you can go hang out with us. Whatever the hell they're going to call the team.
I want a job. J-O-B. Word of the day is job. J-O-B. I want a job.
I can't give you a job. I'm sorry. I'm like, unless what do you want to be about president of basketball operations? Like, what are you trying to run here?
Something. I want something. I want the ability to work my way up. You're consigliere, something, consultant. I just want to be able to wear the gear, collect a paycheck.
That's I was like, if you want a job, we can go the Eric Spoelstra route where he was in the video room early on in his career. We can do that if you want to be cutting tape for the coach. I could give you that.
Now my text might be green for you.
But you drug it out of me because I wasn't trying to disrespect you. But you kept saying you wanted a job. I'm like, yeah, I can get you a job, but I might not get you the job. It's the problem.
I got a good job right now. We don't need to. We can move on.
Yeah, we don't have to go down that road. We still got two more shows that we have to do this week before we go down that road.
Yes.
Some other scores from around Major League Baseball that I'm sure folks are wondering about late night for those of you on the East Coast. Astros have a 2-1 lead against the Angels. Not great for me. I had the Angels first five on the money line, -110. Hopefully they can limit the run output here in the top of the fifth and at least tie the game coming up in the bottom side of the frame. The Athletics, hey, man. I know the Red Sox won last night, but the Athletics did win in the first five, and it looks like they're going to win again here in the first five tonight. Up 1-0 over the Boston Red Sox. So if you've been betting the Athletics as an underdog in the first five, shout out to you. I did it last night. Did not go back to the well, but wish I had. My Rockies, which is my plug your nose play of the night with Michael Lorenzen, they are up 4-2 in the fourth. The Brewers have a 2-0 lead on the Giants, and the Dodgers lead the Mariners 2-1. Anything that stands out to you, Major League Baseball here, or do you want to already turn the attention to what's going to be coming up tomorrow in the world of sports?
We can do Wednesday, but man, these AL races are going to be so much fun, just so good with Yankees and Rays, kind of a coin flip. The AL Central wide open between the Guardians and the White Sox. That comes down to the wire. And then the AL West, Rangers, Mariners, and you got to throw the Astros in there.
Yep.
I know once football starts, we're just all football all the time, but September will be fun here in the American League with all these different races.
Oh, 100%. That will be a thing, especially in the AL West. I think that one's going to come down to like the final weekend. These teams are not good. Even the Rangers are playing well. I don't believe it. The Astros, I don't believe it. The Mariners, I'm a fan. I definitely don't believe it. It's going to come down to like the final, maybe not the final weekend, but at least the final week of the regular season, which should be really fun to track over these next 6 weeks or so. So that's tonight's baseball card, and everything went there. We will see what happens tomorrow. You're off tomorrow because you'll be celebrating. You have a festivity. What's going on? What's on deck For you tomorrow.
Daughter's birthday, so yeah. I'll be out and about celebrating that. But we'll be back Thursday, Friday, and then next week I think we'll be doing these shows, or at least the show with you in person. So I'll be out in Vegas. And again, keep it cool when I'm out there. I don't want it too hot, so anything you can do to pull some strings there would be appreciated.
I got the thermostat at 67, so you'll be nice and cool here in the icebox. That is the VEASAN studio. You guys doing Chuck E. Cheese, or what do you do at that age for the birthday?
TBD, to be honest. We'll TBD. Be bouncing around. The other kids have some sporting events, so we'll be doing something. Not sure what.
Well, you better figure it out. You want to get mad at you on her birthday. That does it for us. For Will Hill, for Corey.